Attention all groups. This is Admiral Akbar with your Armada advice. Sometimes the movement tool is too long to fit in front of your ship and not hit a lot of other things while you're plotting your move. You'll see some players have bought a second tool and built it shorter for just these occasions, and I think that's a good idea. But if you just had to jettison cargo to avoid Imperial entanglements and are a few credits short, here's another way. All the distances are the same on the tool, so the first joint is the same distance as the first to the second to the third, and so on. This means you can pull your tool back and move from 2 to 4 at speed 2 instead of 0 to 2, if that's better for how your battlefield is set up. Assume attack coordinates, and may the Force be with you.
At last we will deal with these rebel scum. You may fire when ready.
Welcome, Commanders, to the 28th episode of Fire When Ready, a Star Wars Armada podcast. I'm Jim.
Corellia liberated! Rebel forces have pushed the Imperial Navy out of the system!
So, yes, we Imperials lost the conflict campaign, and we lost it in the most terrible way, on points. In the previous turns, two of us ended up having to retire our fleets, which gave the rebels enough to get within base assault plus victory point bonus of winning. So instead of declaring an all-out assault, they just did that and managed to overpower one of us. My scarred sovereign was downed in a previous turn when it couldn't produce a single black crit the entire game, and a serious amount of blanks. So it was blasted from the sky by multiple smaller targets that should have been wiped out. That made me retire and make a Thrawn fleet, which devastated a fleet 70 points larger than it, even as my teammate lost the assault. Here are my three takeaways from the campaign. Team balance is super important. We did our best. We had two experienced, two somewhat experienced, and two rookies. But one of the rookies learned a lot faster than the other, and even eclipsed one of the somewhat experienced players. Conflict campaigns have a definite issue with snowballing. Once one side gets too strong, they kind of just roll over the other side. And having an uneven player skill doesn't help. I personally still need to get better at when to hyperspace out. There's really obvious times, but I need to get better at the margins where I might be able to get out okay, and play more conservatively then and just hyperspace out. And the rebel players on the opposing team are the worst. Seriously, who ends a campaign on points instead of the big battle? They had the opportunity to declare the assault, and they didn't take it. "We can still play out the assault if you want," they say, "but no, you forfeited all that fun, and you don't get to have your cake and eat it too. You're absolutely the worst. The worst!" Okay. Speaking of Thrawn, he is amazing and very complex. He is not for beginners. You really need to have a knowledge of what you're going to be doing two or three turns down the road to get the most out of him, especially when you put Chimera into the mix. You have to plot out which of the three fleet command options you're going to do in the following turn and make sure you have the token. It's really hard, but I think with time you're going to see a lot more Thrawns out there at a lot higher skill level. All right, now let's talk B-Wings. Ten Num is the new B-Wing ace, and he's an odd duck at first glance. Like all B-Wings, he's 2-speed, 5-hull, bomber with blue-black, and the usual ace defenses of 2 brace tokens. It's his anti-squadron loadout that makes him distinct, and in fact, both B-Wings in Corellian Conflict are focused into shooting down fighters while not losing any of their anti-ship ability. Ten rolls 2 blues and a black against squadrons, giving him slightly less potential against scatter aces in exchange for slightly more reliable damage output. His ability seems to be based around him shooting some kind of fragmentation bomb. If you roll a blue crit, you can spend it to cause 1 damage to every other enemy squadron at distance 1 of your target. At first blush, this doesn't look that hot, After all, a standard B-Wing throws 3 blues against squadrons, so why was he switched to having a black die in there that lessens his chances at that crit? Well, here's a thought that makes it a bit better. Yes, you're less likely to get that crit with 2 blues instead of 3, but remember that a crit doesn't do damage against your target in this case anyway, Dark Lords of the Sith excluded. His ability shouldn't be viewed as unlikely to go off, but as a bonus that gives his blue dice a 75% chance to do damage. Yes, in aggregate, that's not entirely the chance because a second blue crit does nothing, but 75% is the same odds as a black die, and that's not too shabby at all. Also, remember that suffering damage isn't an attack, so scatter aces can't avoid it. Speaking of scatter aces, 10 is neither better or worse attacking them over targets, really. Sure, he's less likely to get that crucial accuracy, but attacking with him practically guarantees they'll use a scatter. The damage is either going to be high, or there's going to be a blue crit in there, and they likely won't just brace and let everything around the target take damage. He's a good second hit against a scatter ace to see if they'll burn that token off. What he's really good against are escorts. Other squadrons tend to tuck in around an escort for protection, and he has the chance to take that protection away. 10 obviously works well in a list with Torin Farr for her rerolls, and Bomber Command for attacking ships. You wouldn't think it, but he also works well with Nim, simply because the upgrades that work for one help the other as well. 10 Num isn't an auto-include, but he is a worthwhile addition into a B-Wing-centric build, allowing a little extra anti-squadron punch to clear the way. I personally would take him over Kian, just because I think his ability will come in more handy. The non-ace unique is Dagger Squadron, and this one is crazy! Dagger has exactly the same stat line as 10 Num, costs a point more than a normal B-Wing, and adds the Swarm ability while keeping Bomber. It might seem weird, but this is a good deal for Rebel Squadron lists. Anything that makes damage output better is a welcome addition. To put it mildly, if you're building a bomber wing with B-Wings in it, and you don't spend the extra point to get Dagger Squadron, I'm pretty sure that's a crime. That one point gets you a little boost in cutting through enemy squadrons for no downside in anti-ship ability. It's not some misdemeanor, we're talking felony. Since Dagger has 2 different colors of anti-squadron dice to choose from, unlike other swarmers, my suggestion is to make sure the black die is solid first. It has a 75% chance to come up with damage, so a reroll is a great bet to make. If it's already good, then go for those pesky 50-50 blue dice. Of course, if you're fishing for an accuracy, go blue first. Once the enemy squads are down, use Dagger like any other B-Wing and you'll be just fine. Have I made it clear enough that Dagger Squadron is an auto-include for any list that has B-Wings in it? Because it totally is. Now, after the break, one bomber deserves another, and the new TIE Bomber uniques go under the microscope.
When Jim wants to play Armada, he heads down to Round the Table in Lynnwood, Washington. They have board games, a friendly and helpful staff, food, ice cream, and a rotating selection of beer and ciders, so you can loosen up and fly casual. Thursdays are X-Wing and Armada night, so come on down for a glass and a game and say hello. Find out more at www.rttgamepub.com.
We're back, and now let's keep those bombing runs going with the TIE Bomber. The ace TIE Bomber pilot is Captain Jonas, and he's pretty great. Since the great Reimer nerf, he's also the best game in town for TIE Bomber aces. He's got a standard stat line, 4 speed, 5 hull, 1 black die versus everything, and 2 braces. He's heavy, he's a bomber, and he adds grit, which is a nice ability for a bomber to have, and great with Jonas' ability. When Jonas gets to distance 1 of a ship, when your ships attack that ship, they can change a die to an accuracy. He's like H9s added to all the TIE Bomber abilities. Running up against annoying flotillas? Plop Jonas next to one and watch it burn. Because Jonas is such a threat, with his ability to make those pesky red dice better, as well as giving you an accuracy when you need it, your opponent is going to want to lock him down. That's where his grit ability comes in, allowing him to fly away from things like Tycho hopping over on him. Here's some tips on using Jonas to get the most out of him. Keep him back or away from your main squadron wing. That way, he's likely unengaged and able to fly where you need him. However, if your opponent wants to lock him down, they won't be able to get both him and the rest of your squadrons. Jonas shines being out on his own because he's either going to be doing his job and giving you accuracies, or your opponent will have to divert two squadrons to hold him down, and if he's away and clear, those squadrons won't be assisting in the main dogfight. Either way, that's a win for you. If they don't engage him, you're best served by having a squadron token on the ship you most want to enhance with him, like a Star Destroyer. That way, when that ship activates, it can put Jonas where he needs to be for that attack. A nice thing about Jonas, though, is that he doesn't need to be unengaged for his ability to work. So if you're first player, you can just move him in the squadron phase the turn prior to opening fire. Then the enemy ship can't move away, and it doesn't matter if their squadrons pile on top of him, unless they have a ton of rogues that could wear him down before the round ends. Honestly, don't worry about using Jonas to bomb the ships himself. If he does get a torpedo off, that's basically gravy. He's there to either draw squadrons off the main dogfight, or get to distance one of a juicy target, or ideally both if you get the move, then your opponent locks him down. Don't feel like you're wasting him if you're just activating him in the squadron phase and only using him to move instead of shoot. Once he's made his first run, you'll want to make killing any squadrons past the first one that engages him a priority, if you can. Freeing him up so his grit can get him where he's needed is key. Now, because he's heavy, if he gets locked down near one of your ships, he's not going to stop the two squadrons engaging him from doing bombing runs against you. For that reason, he pairs well with Valen Rudor, who does engage them, but they can't shoot at him and have to hit Jonas. Unless the two squadrons are scatter aces, Valen will chew through them in fairly quick order while they try to blast past Jonas' two braces and five hull. And if they are scatter aces, congratulations! You've pulled two fairly expensive squadrons out of position. Oddly, Jonas doesn't work well with other bombers. Well, I mean, he does, but he just doesn't bring anything extra to the party for them. Since he doesn't have to be unengaged to work, he doesn't need intel. His function is just to be there. So yeah, intel might help him move to the next location, and relay will help him get his orders, but with proper positioning and other squadrons helping him out, he basically runs himself. Jonas is underused, in my opinion, so try him out and see how he goes. I'm always pleased with what I get. The non-ace unique is Gamma Squadron, which is, as usual, 1 point more than a regular TIE bomber. It has the standard stats from before, and is also one of the few uniques I don't advise taking over the basic version. Gamma is different from a standard bomber by dropping heavy and gaining grit. While grit is nice for Jonas, for Gamma, it's a solid eh, since you're not likely to be taking Gamma on its own. One bomber isn't going to be very effective. It's when you take multiples that they start to shine. So only having one of them with grit does very little. You're probably going to have intel alongside them anyway. Not having heavy means you can engage other squadrons, but with only a single black die, you won't be shooting them down anytime soon, so that's of negligible benefit. They'll have to chew through five hull, which might hold them up for a single turn when you really need it, but in general, I really don't see a good roll for that extra point to be worth it. Sure, if you're using nothing but grit squadrons, it'll fit right in. And maybe you need to have that potential double duty for it to lock down squadrons for a turn, but I think if all your other escorts and squadrons have failed and you need Gamma to hold the line, you have a bigger problem than they can solve. The only leg up it has is that the Vector title works on it, but again, you shouldn't be running it on its own. So yeah, I'm not a believer in Gamma Squadron. They're just as good as a regular TIE bomber, but 1 point more, that really doesn't give you anything at this point in time. Now, a special bonus. In honor of the series finale of Rebels, I thought I'd give some time to a much maligned squadron that's a favorite of mine, the Ghost, piloted by Harrison Dula.
Syndulla.
No, Thrawn, it's Syndulla. For an appreciator of other species' art, you're terrible at pronouncing their names. Hera is the ace of the VCX-100 freighter, and I think she's pretty fly. The Ghost is basically the Falcon with one more hull. 3-speed, 8-hull, 2 blues, 2 blacks against squads, and 1 of each without bomber against ships. Like the Falcon, she has Rogue and Grit, but only has 1 brace. She's also 2 points more expensive, making her the new most expensive squadron in the game. That's a definite stumbling block, but I think she's worth it. Hera's ability is basically that at the start of the squadron phase, she gives Rogue to 2 squadrons at or within distance 2. This can be a huge advantage, but you have to build around her to do it. Which is only natural, really, when she's almost 1/5 of your total squadron points. Hera both reduces the number of ship-based squadron activations you need, and gives you some flexibility in which ones you activate first in a turn. Plus, she's a workhorse herself, just like Han, able to reliably put the finishing shots into a squadron or ship. The single brace can be a limiting factor, but I'll get to that in a minute. Hera works best when she's held back from the fight. Creep her around the edges, keeping her at distance 2 of what you want to activate with her, and only engage 1 thing at a time so her grit can keep her moving. She's going to activate last in the squadron phase, so try to think 1 step ahead of where your opponent's squadrons are going to end up. As for what to use with her, I find there's a few squadrons that really work well with her. E-wings are, I think, the best ones to give Rogue to. Keep them back with her, and then in the squadron phase, throw them out to get snipe shots on vulnerable targets. This can be done to hop them over a dogfight to hit the key fighters behind the escorts, or as an alpha strike as squadrons move towards each other. If you do that, try to make sure you're going to bring some escorts up next to them to prevent the E's from being shot down right away. Sometimes there's a really juicy target that you want to throw some damage on right away, though, like if they expose Dengar or Jan Ors. But in general, try to keep your E's at snipe range rather than engaging, as once they're in, they're not going to be going anywhere, losing out on Hera's ability, barring some intel or just killing what's engaging them. The other squadron I like is, fittingly for the leader of Phoenix Squadron, A-Wings. Their high speed means they can jump further than E's, though they lack the additional snipe range. With a black anti-ship die, though, you can reliably also use them to fly out and hit a vulnerable ship if you need to, which your opponent may not be expecting. A squadron that works decently with her is the Hawk 290, both because with intel you can much more easily use her ability on squadrons around her, but also because oftentimes if I'm lacking squadron activations for everything I have, it's the intel one I just move instead of shooting to get into position for what I need freed up next turn, since they only throw 2 blues. Hera gives them a full activation when other beefier squadrons have already activated, plus you can use her to give Rogue to both the Hawk and another squad, and have the Hawk move to get that other one freed up. On the subject of those last 2 squadrons, naturally some aces that work, well, aces with her, are Shara Bay, Tycho Selchu, and Jan Ors. Shara and Tycho are great aces in general, and giving them Rogue makes them that much better. Tycho especially works well because you can always get full Rogue effects with him to move and shoot no matter where he is. Jan Ors gives the double duty of both intel and shoring up Hera's single brace vulnerability to give the Ghost extra staying power. However, using more than one of those is getting pretty expensive for your points, so that's why I advocate running generic squadrons with her. One commander she excels with is Sato. Again, Phoenix Squadron loves A-Wings, and having her launch those fast fighters into position to get shots set up next round is something that enemy squadrons have a hard time defending against, especially with Shara and Tycho and their scatters. You definitely want to back her up with other squadrons, especially escorts. Even with 8 hull, that single brace is easily locked to force her to take full damage, so unprotected she won't last long against a concerted effort. A list I took her in had a squadron complement of Hera, two X-Wings, two E-Wings, Biggs, and an A-Wing. It worked really well, with Biggs and his friends holding up enemy squadrons while I sent the E's out with Hera to target specific squadrons, and the A was there for utility and flanking. I also had two transports with jamming fields, so that gave the escorts additional staying power, and I could maneuver the E's out of the field occasionally to give them full dice. You have to build with her in mind, but I think you should give Hera a shot sometime. I think you'll enjoy having General Syndulla and her specters along for the ride. The generic is the VCX-100, which is the Rebel squadron with relay and strategic. It boasts a comfortable 3-speed, 8 hull, and nothing but blues, 3 against squadrons and 1 against ships, so not too shabby. It's also heavy, which is only a detriment if you were thinking of taking only VCXs. I haven't talked about relay or strategic, but they were the biggest things to come out of the Squadron 2 packs. Relay lets you activate a number of squadrons at distance 1 to 2 of the VCX, as if they were in range of the ship doing the activation. In the VCX's case, it has relay at 1, so it can activate just one squadron, either itself or something near it. Relay has no range, so if your VCX is on the far right side and the ship activating is on the far left side, the VCX can still be activated. This allows VCXs to run on their own, or follow behind other squadrons to give them the relay, and then just move back into range in the squadron phase. Because they only have Relay 1, you probably want to have at least two of them so that a standard transport squadron command can get full usage through the relays. Then your transport can be comfortably zipped off to the side, away from the fight, but still be fully useful. In addition to that, they also have strategic, which makes them nearly an auto-include in any competitive list. Strategic lets you move objective tokens when the VCX lands near them, which flips objectives like fire lanes and minefields around completely. You can get by without strategic, but having it is such a huge bonus. I'll probably devote a whole segment in the future to strategic, but for now, just understand that if you don't have it in your fleet, and you run up against someone who took two or more squadrons with it, it might be worth taking second players so they have to use your objectives, because taking theirs probably means a lot of objective tokens they can manipulate to ruin your day and rack up points. And if you don't have it, stay away from those types of objectives for the same reason. They'll probably choose one and make you pay. With its high hull and good damage output, the VCX is a solid squadron to have in a dogfight. However, without any other non-heavies around, it isn't going to keep a bomber wing from doing its thing. Plus, being that close in with its fellows means relay activations all day while your ships are free to move about outside of medium range. That same resilience, coupled with being able to relay itself, makes the VCX a natural pick for a Sato list as well. Plant one in the path of a slowish moving ship, and it'll last a few rounds while your ships get their optimized shots off. You'll probably want to take three with Sato, and then potentially back them up with some intel and possibly escorts to make sure that they don't get pinned in a bad position and last longer, respectively. Other than that, they work well with just about anyone and everything, with the caveat that faster squadrons might leave them in the dust and end up outside relay range. Like I said, VCXs are almost an auto-include, and if you don't take them, you need to have a plan with how you're going to deal with strategic on the other side of the table. Throwing one into your list won't do you wrong. That's it for this episode. Next time, we'll wrap up the Corellian Conflict Squadrons with the A-Wings and TIE Advanced. Plus, let me know in the Facebook comments or on Twitter if there's a squadron or ship that you want me to jump the queue with like I did with Hera. Until then, you worry about those fighters, and I'll worry about the tower. Ezra Bridger, take us home!
Force will be with you. Always.
Fire when ready. A Star Wars Armada podcast can be found at www.firewhenreadypodcast.com. Talk to me online on Twitter as @ArmadaJim or by email at jim@firewhenreadypodcast.com. All celebrity voices impersonated All rights to the spoken content of this podcast are reserved.